And now, Courageous Heart, starring Alice Marble. From New York City, the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force bring you a true story of an American champion titled Courageous Heart, with Alice Marble, a former world's tennis champion, as narrator. This transcribed feature is another in the series of The Voice of the Army. This is a story of an American champion who wins top honors by perseverance, determination, and patience. It is a story illustrating the will to win. It is a lesson in courage. But as this is the story of a champion, it can best be told by another champion, Alice Marble, former women's tennis champion of the world, our narrator for Courageous Heart, Miss Marble.
Our story opens at Wimbledon Stadium, England, Mecca of the tennis world. The time is July 1947, and the final round for the Women's Doubles Championship is in progress. Pat Todd and Doris Hart, the challengers, are fighting to wrest the championship from Margaret Osborne DuPont and Louise Brough, 1946 title holders and three-time winners of the United States Championship. The challengers have just won the last three consecutive games of this third set. It is a critical moment. And, according to the BBC announcer,
the contest has now reached match point, with the score of this third set at 6 games for Miss Hart and Mrs. Todd, to 5 games for Miss Brough and Mrs. DuPont. The players obviously are extremely aware of the tremendous significance of the moment. A complete hush has enveloped the crowd as the ball is about to be served. All 4 players now seem to be ready. Here is the service. Ah, the first service was good. The ball is now in play.
Game, set, and match.
Indeed, Miss Doris Hart and Miss Patricia Canning Todd have just won the Wimbledon doubles from Miss Louise Brough and Mrs. Margaret Osborne DuPont in the tennis world's surprise upset of the year.
Yes, Doris Hart became a world's champion at Wimbledon, England, on Saturday, July 5th, 1947, receiving her well-earned trophy from the hands of Her Majesty, the Dowager Queen of England.
And now, Patricia Todd and Doris Hart of the United States, it is my privilege to award to you these silver plates, engraved to show you that you are the women's doubles champions of Wimbledon for 1947. In doing this, both your ability and your sportsmanship were superb. You have beaten the unbeatable, so to speak. In the name of our country, I congratulate you on your splendid victory.
We thank your Majesty. It has been a privilege to play here.
But, Miss Marble, I've heard that Miss Hart walked with great difficulty, even at the age of 11. How on earth could she gain the top bracket in such a strenuous and highly competitive sport?
I know it sounds impossible, Mr. Milano, but to understand this near miracle, let's journey back to the year 1927. Doris was then 2 years old, and was that year that the infection occurred which crippled her. It was not infantile paralysis, but it was very serious. The Hart's family doctor was away, and it took a long-distance phone call to bring him back to Doris's bedside. The doctor rushed back to St. Louis, examined little Doris, and operated immediately in Doris's bedroom.
All right, nurse, that's it. Now, stay with her until she's awake.
All right, doctor. Shall I put your instruments back into your case?
Yes, thank you. And will you please tell Mr. and Mrs. Hart they may come in now?
Of course. The doctor says you may come in now.
How is she, doctor?
Oh, doctor, is her leg all right?
I think she'll be all right now for a while. Oh. However, that leg is going to bear watching very closely, and it must be massaged for an hour every day, or a recurrence may develop.
May I massage it for her myself, doctor? I'd rather, if someone will just show me how to do it.
Why, of course. Nurse?
Yes, doctor?
You stay with the patient until it's time to massage her leg, and then show Mrs. Hart exactly how it's done. Then let her do it and see that she knows how to do it properly.
Yes, doctor.
After that, I hardly think there'll be anything more for either of us to do here.
No, the doctor did not amputate. And for many months, Mrs. Hart massaged Doris's leg every day without fail. Then, when Doris was 10 years old, the family moved to Florida, and shortly afterwards, another operation was performed. And while she was getting well, she kept watching the players on the tennis courts across the street from her hospital window. And she became extremely interested in the game.
How do you feel today?
Oh, hello, Mother. I feel fine.
Good.
Did Daddy come with you?
No, he couldn't make it this afternoon.
Oh.
He'll be over to see you this evening.
Ask him to bring me some popcorn.
All right, dear. Incidentally, what are you always watching so intently through that window every time I come to see you?
I'm watching him play tennis, Mother, over in those tennis courts. The doctor said I should get plenty of exercise when I get out of the hospital. And, well, I've been thinking that maybe I might like to play some tennis, if I can. May I try, Mother?
Certainly you may, darling. I'll get you a tennis racket tomorrow and bring it right over.
Oh, thank you, Mother. Gee, you're a peach.
Never mind that now. I've already promised to bring the tennis racket, and I'll ask Bud if he'll teach you to play.
Oh, wonderful. And tell him that if he does, I'll think he's the sweetest brother in the whole world.
You can tell him yourself. He'll be over to see you this evening, too.
Mother, I think I heard the doctor tell the nurse that if I get enough exercise, I may not live anymore.
Well, we'll see that you get plenty of exercise. And even if you do still have a little limp, don't you let it bother you. And no one will notice it. And remember, dear, the world's history books are full of the names of famous people who didn't let anything stand in their way of finding health and success.
After Doris left the hospital and recovered sufficiently from the operation, her brother began to teach her to play tennis. For months, they practically lived on the courts. And the next year, when she was 11 years old, she won her first championship with her brother, who was then 13. They won the Miami Night League mixed doubles title at Miami, Florida. And then, when Doris was 15, she entered the National Junior Tennis Championships at Philadelphia.
Sis, you're next. Are you all ready?
I'm ready. If only my backhand will stay in.
Just keep your shots deep and come up to the net behind that strong forehand of yours.
All right, I'll do my best.
I know you will, sis, and good luck. You better get over to the courts now.
All right.
Game, set, and match.
There it is, sis. You're on now. Good luck.
Thanks, bud.
And don't worry if you don't win. As far as I'm concerned, you're a champion anyway.
Made a good showing that year, and she went on to win the United States National Junior Championship 2 years later, in 1942, and she won it again the following year. During 1944, she toured the Caribbean area with Dorothy Head, playing tennis to help entertain the armed forces. But in 1946, Doris Hart was finalist with Pauline Betts in the national championship. And in 1947 also, with Mrs. Pat Todd at Paris and with Mrs. DuPont at Wimbledon, winning the Wimbledon doubles that same year with Mrs. Todd. Doris has beaten all the ranking woman stars at one time or another, and she's always been a favorite with the huge crowd of tennis fans at the famous Forest Hill Stadium.
And what did Doris Hart do in 1948, Miss Marble?
Why, early in the year, with her college mate, Barbara Schofield, as partner, she won the United States Women's Indoor Doubles Championship by defeating Pat Todd and Helen Rabani, both of whom are highly rated and rank among the first 10 women in American tennis. And then last summer, she was again finalist in both the singles and doubles at the great annual Wimbledon tournament. Today, her record stands as a guiding beacon for all those who might face despair because of a physical handicap similar to the one which she has so miraculously and courageously conquered. Whether or not Doris Hart ever wins another championship title, she will always remain, in my estimation, a real champion.
Miss Marble, I know that our radio audience joined me in thanking you for a grand story about Doris Hart, who, as you put it, is a real champion, with victories over prolonged physical handicaps as well as over strong opponents on the tennis court. Doris Hart has exhibited true American qualities, and under our way of life, her success story can be duplicated by millions of alert, alive young American citizens. Such a way of life is worth preserving, and in these troublesome times, only a strong America can remain a peaceful America.
Under what conditions may young men volunteer for service in the U.S. Army to help be ready to preserve this way of life?
Well, here are some facts, brief and clear.
If you are 18 years old, you may now volunteer within limited monthly quotas for 1 year's training with the Army of the United States.
And if you are between the ages of 19 and 26 years, you may volunteer for 20-month service in the regular Army.
Both of these special enlistment periods depend upon further service with certain civilian components on an inactive status.
And here's another choice for you, too. The regular Army 3-year enlistment period is open for men between the ages of 17 and 35 years who meet the high physical and mental requirements.
At least one of these choices of action is open to all qualified young men of America. Here's a summary of it again.
18-year-olds may enlist for 1 year.
19 to 26-year-olds may enlist for 21 months.
And those between 17 and 25 years may apply for a regular Army 3-year enlistment period.
Visit your local U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting office for complete details on all these plans.
Learn why thousands of alert, intelligent, ambitious young men are now volunteering for service in the United States Army.
And the United States Air Force.
This program was brought to you by the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force and featured Alice Marble, former world's tennis champion, as narrator. Also included in the cast were Abby Lewis, Mary Lou Forrester, Gregory Morton, and Bernard Grant. Voice of the Army thanks Miss Marble for her services on this program, which was written by Master Sergeant Robert C.C. McCann and was directed by Major Hugh K. Murray. This is Frank Milano speaking.
This transcribed feature was another in the series of
The Voice of the Army.